Boker Tov, Shavuot Tov, everybody. Sure, most of you know, next week you're on at 11:15. We arrange a schedule, so you'll have your regular time, but it'll only be
and the same topic also.
Yeah, Aleinu. Now you're
every day
Aleinu.
Topic, but God's
yeah. That worked in. But the five other speakers beginning at 9:15 in the morning. Rabbi Drach and Rav Stav, and we have really, I think, a wonderful program lined up. That's next Sunday, a week today, 9:15 in the morning to 1:30, and 2 weeks later on October 6th, please God, which is also Tzom Gedalia, the day after Yom Kippur, Tzom Gedalia, we will have a Yom Kippur Yom Iyun. That will also be at 9:15. We're probably going to go till a little after 2. It's a fast day, so people, I guess, have more time to learn. It's a Seretz Yemei Tshuva, so that will, we haven't posted all the details yet, but just to let you know. And okay. And with that, Rabbi Liebtag, we can begin. Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well.
Okay. Welcome back, everybody. So last week we talked about how Sefer Bereshit begins its theme, and I try to suggest a simple reason why Chumash purposely uses one name for God Elohim, for the story of creation and the God of nature. That's the idea that there's one power behind all the different powers of nature. And another name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, who is God, that was the title of the series, Hashem Elohim, who's involved with man's day-to-day life, who, the way he keeps up his connection with nature and his creation is a function of man's deeds. Again, what does man need to do? That's already a question of religion. But the idea that God's present in your life and he holds you accountable for your deeds, that was the big thing that we talked about. Okay, so I'm going to share my source sheet real fast. The first couple of minutes will be a quick review. Okay, I just said that. Okay. And then we talked about what I want to talk about first is I want to explain why it's so important to understand that the first 11 chapters are universal. We talked about that briefly. And the rest of the book, from the middle of chapter 11, is particular. And my point is, the main topic of Sefer Bereshit is God choosing a nation and starting this covenant. We'll talk about the idea of covenant today. That's just choosing a nation, like winning a lottery, but rather, God has a goal for that nation. God's going to enter a covenant with a particular nation, but the purpose of that covenant with a particular nation is for the sake of all nations. And that was the idea of Kedushah, which we talked about before. Maybe we'll get to it later today, that when something's separated by God from a larger group, the purpose of that separation is for the sake of the group that it's separated from. That becomes the funnel that brings God to that group. If Shabbat is separated from the rest of the week, Shabbat becomes the day of the week that becomes the funnel that brings God into every day of the week. If God picks the tribe of Levi from the 12 tribes, then the tribe of Levi is separated, become the funnel to bring God to the other 11 tribes. And if God's going to choose a nation from the 70 nations, he's choosing them for the sake to bring God, to bring a conduit to bring God to those nations. We'll deal with that more in detail next week in the Sharon Aleinu, because that's going to be one of the themes of Aleinu. But today I want to show it within the text. What I want to show you today is in the particular section, just like we have the creation story with Shem Elohim in chapter 1 and B'Shem Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, called the Tetragrammaton in chapters 2, 3, and 4, and then it goes back and forth. We'll see the flood and it has both names in it. The covenants that develop in the particular section also reflect these two names for God. Again, I want to show you that that's intentional, and that's how Sefer Bereshit slowly builds its theme. So just to point out something, we talked about last week that chapter 1 was exclusively Elohim. Chapters 2, 3, and 4, God's name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and chapter 5, again, back to Elohim. In chapters 6 through 9, it's a mixture. We'll see there's a reason for the flood, B'Shem Elohim. There's a reason for the flood, B'Shem Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. There's a reason for not bringing another flood, B'Shem Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, and a reason for not bringing another flood, B'Shem Elohim. I'm assuming you're familiar with that, but maybe we'll go over it quickly today. And in light of those two, we're going to have two new covenants. Now, what's going to be important is that, again, in the main stories of Avraham Avinu, God's name, we'll see, will be exclusively Shem Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, until we get to Brit Milah, which will be Shem Elohim. Again, that sounds a little confusing now. Hopefully it'll make sense very soon. So, the first thing I want to do is I want to support this idea that the first part of the book is a setup for the second part of the book. And I want to bring one simple example which is very technical, but it reflects what's called structure of the book. One of the most boring sections of Sefer Bereshit are the Toledot, where we get names and how long they lived for and they had children. But I want to just point out quickly the parallel between the genealogies in chapter 5 and chapter 11. In what way are they similar? Both have 10 generations. The first one, 10 generations from Adam to Noah, and Noah has 3 sons. And then there's going to be another genealogy, which right now I'm going to say something not precise, from Noah to Avram Avinu, or actually from Shem to Terach, and Terach has 3 sons. I want to show you the psukim to show you the format, and then you'll see how important the parallel is going to be. So I'm going to stop my share here and open up a chumash, because I couldn't put this on a source sheet. You have to see it inside of Tanakh. Where are we here? Okay, that's good. In chapter 5 in Sefer Bereshit, just take a look. It says Sefer Todot Adam. And again, B'yom Bra Elokim Adam B'dmut Elokim Asalto. That's mamash right out of chapter 1. From chapter 1, we go right to chapter 5. Following Kresha B'Shem Elokim. Zachar Nekabe Bra'am, word for word, day 6. In chapter 1 in Bereshit. Vayvarech Otam, Perek Aleph in Bereshit. And giving their name Adam on the day he created them. Okay. Then we have man, listen to the format. Adam lived X amount of years and gave birth to a son. Okay. And then all the years of Adam after he gave birth to a son was more years. Got it? And then we teach ourselves math sort of, and we had all the years of Adam were a certain number and he died. Now look at the pattern. Shait lives how many? 500 some years, and he gives birth to Enosh. 105 years. I'm sorry, he gave birth to Enosh. After he gave birth to Enosh, Shait lived another 870 years. By Yolad Banim Banot. And then we total them up. All the days of Shait were 900 years, and he dies. Now, again, obviously, the person died because we know how many years he lived for. So that Vayamot at the end of each genealogy seems a little superfluous. Two things are superfluous. Teaching us mathematics, adding up how many years he lived before he had the child and how many years after the child, and then giving you the total and then telling you he died, I could stop right here and that would be enough. But for some reason, it's very repetitive and gives that information every time. The same thing. Enosh gives birth to Canaan, the same format. Canaan, Mahalalel, Yered, got it, Chanoch, Metushelach, then we get to Lemech, the same pattern. And almost all of them, the only one a little different was 770, was Chanoch, who doesn't say that he died, but rather he walked with God. Remember that phrase, Vayitalach with Elohim. And then he's gone, God, Elohim took him. That's a shear in itself, but something's going on there for sure. Then we get to Lemech. For Lemech, we find the first time since the earlier names in with Cain and Hevel that we have a reason for the name. Lemech gave birth to what to Noach, and he gave a reason. Now, if you do your math, this is not the topic of the shir, but it's just really cute. If you do the math, the first child born after the death of Adam HaRishon is Noah. In other words, when Lemech was born, Lemech is Noah's father. When Lemech was born, Adam HaRishon was still alive. You can do the math and figure it out, or you can look at the tables they have in the back of some Chumashim. And Noah was born after Adam HaRishon died. Now, when Adam HaRishon sinned, the land was cursed. Kol Yimei Chayav, no, it was cursed. And the hope is that now that Adam passed away, maybe Noah, things will get better. And therefore, there's great hopes for Noach. Remember the word Nechama by Noach, from the land that was cursed. That goes back to the theme of Gan Eden and we'll see Cain and Hevel. But something's going on there with Noach for sure. Then we have Lamech, and then Noach has 3 sons, Shem, Cham, and Yafet. Now you see that format? That leads to the flood story, coming up in a minute. Before we forget all that, let's take a look at chapter 5, chapter 11, after Migdal Bavel. Migdal Bavel ends. Remember, we talked about their sin was they want to make a name for themselves. Menaseh Lenu Shem. Remember? They want to make a name for themselves. We'll go back to that in a minute. Then we get Elo Todot Shem. Okay? And he gave birth to Achbashad 2 years after the Mabul. And then Shem lived 500 years afterwards. And then Arpachshad lived how many years? 35 years. Gave birth to Shelach. And then after Arpachshad gave birth to Shelach, He lived 403 years. Notice it's the same pattern. Who can tell me what's missing in chapter 11? What's missing in chapter 11 in the Toledot? It's
Vayamot.
Almost the exact same pattern.
Vayamot.
Yeah, not just a bit, the math and Vayamot. Now, it's clear that these people died because that's how many years they lived for after they gave birth to the last child. But for some reason, these genealogies don't say Vayamot. What happens though? Just like the other genealogies, we go from Shem and we end up with who? With Terach. And Terach has three, let's say, Noach was the end of the list, had three sons. And then Terach has three sons. Remember Avram, Nachor, and Haran. And by Terach, Shivim Shana, and gave birth Avram, Nachor, and Haran. And then just before we had Elo Todot Noach, now Elo Todot Terach. And that leads to the story of Avram Vino making Aliyah. And what's interesting in the continuation of Sefer Bereshit, we don't only follow the children of Avram. Avram gives, with Sarah gives birth to Yitzchak and Yishmael, etc., from Hagar and Keturah, etc. We also find the family of Nahor. We'll read that about on Rosh Hashanah. Remember? Nahor gave birth to Milcah. I mean, Milcah gave birth with Nahor to eight sons. And with his Pilegesh Ruma, he gave four children from his Pilegesh. Total of 12. That was Nahor. We read about that in the end of Parsha Ba'eram. We read it on Rosh Hashanah. And Haran, dies young, but gave birth to Lot, and Avram adopts Lot, and Lot has two children or grandchildren, Ammon and Moab, and we follow that story. But basically, the rest of the next several chapters in Bereshit follow not only the Toledot of Avram, but also all of Terach's children, Avram, Nachor, and Haran, until we get to Elo Toledot Yitzhak. Now, that's a technicality. What I'm getting at is that there's no doubt that the parallel structure in chapter 5 is being a setup for the parallel structure in chapter 11. Both are 10 generations ending with the last one with three sons. And then the main story following that character at the end of the, who had the three sons. Terach having Avram, Nachor, and Haran. Noach having Shem, Ham, and Yafet. Now, what's interesting is that you would expect the Toldot of Avram Avinu to begin with Noach, right? Like the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avot, wouldn't it? Remember the Pirkei Avot says there's 10 generations from Adam to Noach and then 10 from Noach to Abraham? For some reason, the story of Avram Avinu doesn't begin with Noach, it begins with Toldot Shem. And that's already indicating there's some connection between Shem and Avram's genealogy. In other words, the story of Avram doesn't begin with Parshat Lech Lecha in chapter 12. It begins with the genealogies from Shem to Nahor in the end of chapter 11 after Migdal Bavel. Now, do we ever discuss why Noah calls his son Shem? Yeah, remember what we talked about? My contention was that if God wants man to make a name for God, and man was doing evil, therefore Noah wants his son to be a rabbi. And therefore he calls him Shem because he wants him to make a name for God. We'll talk about this a little bit later in the show and try and prove it. But the fact that the story of Avraham Avinu begins right here with Elo Todot Shem, the particular section, okay, this is totally technical, but when I divide the book in half, Migdal Bavel ends the universal section with the sin that what God's upset with is man saying, V'naseh lanu shem. And God's upset with this big building project, this unity that leads to man making a name for himself and not for God. And the story of Avraham Avinu is going to call out in God's name begins with Elo Todot Shem. That's got to be significant. That can be by chance. Now, and that's going to support our whole claim that one of the underlying themes of Sefer Bereshit is God choosing a nation to make a name for God. Now, next week, we'll try to prove that from the Aleinu the Shaveach prayer. And we'll try to connect that to the theme of Machiot and Rosh Hashanah. That's for the Rosh Hashanah Yemiyun. This is the background for it. So that was my one trying to review is why I'm making a big deal about these technical structures. Now, who can make up a Midrash? Why that last line in the Toledot leading to Avraham Avinu, why does it leave out the fact that they died? Why the Toledot in chapter 5 emphasizing they died? Vayamot, every time, remember, Vayamot, Vayamot. Each one ends with Vayamot. And why are the Toledot from Shem to Avram missing Vayamot? Anyone want to suggest their own man-made Midrash? Yeah, Asher?
Avraham brought Mavet, Adam, Harishon, brought Mavet into the world.
Oh, I mean, he blamed it on his wife, but...
He blamed it on her, but it was, you know, like whichever. The
okay.
Two, she comes from him, and the two of them together.
By Adam Arisha, but why everyone afterwards? In other words, I would understand if I only said Vayimot by Adam Arishon, but all the way down to Noach, they all die at the end. Again, we know they all die, but why emphasize Vayimot all the time? In contrast to the Dodot from Shem to Avram that don't have Vayimot. Who remembers
the
Chazal?
You said that Avraham, that Adam is still alive until roughly the time Noach, he dies, he's still around. Until Noah comes into the world. So that means he's still there through all of these generations until Noah.
But listen, when it gets to Noah, this is a proof of at the end of the flood story, at the end of Parak Vet, here's the proof that it's one big unit. By he Noah, Achrayim Babu, Shlosh Mot Shana, Vachashim Shana, by you, Koh Yimei Noah, Chamot Shana, Vachamishim Shana, Vayamot. You see the pattern? That's a chapter 5 pattern. So why? Because that leads to the flood. And what happened to the flood? Everybody died. Now, but what I'm getting at is that there's something eternal about Avram Avinu. Remember Chazal say Yaakov Avinu never died? Of course he died. Remember it says by all the others, it says Vayigva, Vayamot, and it says when it's Vayigva, Venestaf Alamah, but then say that he died. Of course he died, but in a certain way he's still alive. Because we're still here. But the idea that a nation can be eternal and not die, that's one of the key themes of God picking a nation, to the eternal choice of a nation to serve God. Now, God's not promised everything will go great, but our choice as God's nation is an eternal covenant. It's an eternal choice. And in that sense, we're alive forever as a people. How well we do our job, that's up to us. That'll be the theme of davening. But the idea that we're the chosenness of Avraham Avinu is eternal, I think it's called, we'll see the word the olam in the brit. The idea of an eternal brit is key, and I think leaving, by having this setup, genealogies, emphasizing by Yamot that they died, and the genealogies, the parallel of Shem to Avram Avinu, not saying by Yamot, I think that's been up to the idea of this eternal nature of God's covenant with Avram Avinu. Again, it could be Chumash figured by now, you know your math, and you can figure out that they died. But it's so emphasized by the words. Remember, Chumash doesn't waste words, but boy, it's wordy. Anyway, that's my take on the parallel genealogies. That's what I wanted to share with you. Now I'll stop the Chumash share and go back to our source sheet. Now it gets a little technical. Actually, let me show you one thing. As long as I have my Chumash open, I wanted to show you real quick the two reasons for the flood. This is a separate share. We're not going to do it, but. Notice at the end of Parshat Bereshit, Vayar Hashem, I apologize for not using English translation, I just need to see the Hebrew here. God sees that man is evil, Ki Rabba Ra'at Adam Ba'aretz, and all of his thoughts are just bad all the time. Vayinachem Hashem, right? God regrets now that he made Adam, and he's bothered by Vayitasev Elibo, remember all these words, and God decides, Emchet Adam Asher Barati Me'apnei Adama Me'Adam Ad Behima. God, sorry, made him. And Noach, Matzachem Bnei Hashem. Remember, Noach and Chen were the same letters backwards. Chen and Noach is wordplay. Now,
are you supposed to be sharing your screen with us?
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Okay, thanks for reminding me. Remind me sooner next time. Okay, sorry about that. Here we go again. This is the end of Parshat Bereshit. Bayar Hashem. See God's name, Yudkevavke? That man is evil in the land. All of his thoughts are bad, all day. Vayinachem Hashem, God's upset that he made man. Vayitasev alibo, remember these Hebrew words. And what does God say, Yudke Vavke? I'm going to wipe man out that I made from the Adam ad Behemah ad Remes v'chule, and Noach matzachem b'nei Hashem. That's the reason for the flood, b'shem Yudke Vavke. God's upset with man's evil behavior. Then we get Elo Todot Noach. Noach was a tzaddik, etc. Noah has his three sons. That's a review of what we knew from before. And then, Now Elohim is angry because the whole land has become corrupt. And the whole land is full of iniquity, of Hamas, and bad behavior. And Elohim sees the land has become corrupted, right? And all living things went astray, went did bad things, whatever that means. And Elohim tells Noah, I've had it because of the Hamas of the land, and I'm going to destroy the land. And they tells Noah, make a teva, and the rest is history. Understand? Now, God tells Noah, I'm going to bring a mabon on the land. We'll see later this phrase, I'm going to make my brit with you. And then after all these commands, what happens? Vayas Noach akwasher tziva Elohim ken asa. Elohim tells Noach to make the teva, the ark, take the animals two by two, mikol chai, shnayim shnayim, zachar v'nekeva. And then, right afterwards, in the beginning of chapter 7, Yud kevavke tells Noach to do what? Okay? Go to the teva that I just commanded you to make b'shem Elohim. And now take seven by seven from all the kosher animals. Okay? And why? Because in 7 days' time, there'll be a flood, 40 days and 40 nights. U'machitet kol yekum, and bayas noach kocha asher tziva Hashem, asher tziva Hashem. You see the parallel? It's so obvious. There's a reason for the flood, b'shem yudke vavke, a reason for the b'shem Elohim, a commandment to build the teva and bring the animals, b'shem yudke vavke, b'shem Elohim, another commandment, b'shem yudke vavke, noach, and then the flood itself begins and just goes back and forth the whole time. When the flood's over, at the end of chapter 8, when the flood's over at the end of chapter 8, what does Noach do? Noach builds a, what happened here? That tells Noach, get out of the teva. And here, what does Noach do? Noach makes a mizbeach for Hashem. And guess what he puts on the mizbeach? The 7 by 7 animals. But he brought on b'shem yudkei vavkei. Vayarach Hashem et reach hanichoach. Remember this? Can't forget about that. Remember? Yonah matzah b'manoach. Yom Shabbaton ein lishkoach. Zichro k'reach hanichoach. This is a Shabbat, a Noach story. That's in the Zemar we sing on Shabbat. So the Noach builds a mizbeach, brings the animals. God smells the korban. And what does God decide to do? God says, I'm not going to curse the land again because of man. Why? Before the flood, man was bad all the time. Yetzer Adam was rak rak kol hayom, only bad. And now Yetzer Adam is bad from his adolescence. And his youth means he can grow up, he can go through adolescence and learn from his mistakes and become an adult. Basically, man might do bad, but he can learn from his mistakes. And now God has a whole new relationship with his creation. And therefore, he's not going to start creation over again. It's going to stay the way it is. So Yud Kei Vav Kei promises not to destroy again and leave nature the way it is and recognizes man's frailty, I think is the word. He makes mistakes, but he can learn from his mistakes. And what's beautiful, the flood story is almost the same idea because man's Bitzelem Elohim. God does something, recognizes he made a mistake, decides to undo it, and then he's sorry. He regrets that he regretted it and promises not to do it again. So God gives us a story about God learning from his mistakes, and now he wants man to learn from his mistakes. Right after that, and that's our topic now, God's going to make a covenant now, B'Shem Elohim. Elohim braces Noach just like in day 6 of creation, with Pur Vu, and a diet, now he can eat meat, etc. And now the commandment, not to commit murder, Shofech Dam Adam Badam Dam Shofech. Again, Tzelem Elohim, like chapter 1 of Bereshit, and Pur Vu, like chapter 1. And basically, we have a recreation story, B'Shem Elohim, B'Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, just like we had a reason for the flood before and after. That's classic. I'm saying Chumash is purposely using two names for God to develop its theme. But I'm claiming again, this is all a setup for the two Britot, the two covenants God's going to make with those two names later on with Avraham Avinu. Now I want to show you why. What we're going to do now, we're going to read, now I'm going to go back to my source sheet, we're going to read the Rainbow Covenant, which we're all familiar with. Got it? I'm going to stop the share for a minute. Everyone has heard of the Rainbow Covenant. Agreed? And everyone's heard of the Circumcision Covenant, correct? And the Brit Ben Covenant. Has anyone ever compared them to each other? Now, what I want to show you there's an obvious, maybe it's not so obvious because if you didn't notice it, but you'll see in a minute, there's a linguistic parallel between the rainbow covenant and the circumcision covenant with Avraham Avinu. You can't miss it. We're going to see it in a minute. It's like staring at you. And my claim is that that's technical. That's objective. My claim is I need the front story to understand why we're chosen. That's the main theme of Chumash is the covenant God makes with the Jewish people. To appreciate the nature of that covenant, I need the rainbow covenant to appreciate the circumcision covenant. Now, if you were in Shul on Shabbat, you might have heard Isaiah saying, "Ki me noach zotli." Was that this week, I think, in Rani Akara? Right? That's what Yeshayahu was talking about. Ki me noach zotli. God's covenant with Am Yisrael is like his covenant with Noach. The Zemar on Shabbos talks about that also. That's alluding to that. Of Yom Shabbat Anei Nishkoach. And we'll see why it relates to Shabbat in a minute. Now, what I want to do the first part of the show, I want to prove that there's a direct linguistic connection between the rainbow covenant and circumcision covenant. And one of the best proofs is, remember we're following Shem Elohim? The last time Elohim speaks is the rainbow covenant until circumcision covenant. Notice if I'm looking for Elohim speaking, remember ever since day one, God's been talking. But God talks a lot. Elohim speaks over and over again, all through the creation stories, until the rainbow covenant. After the rainbow covenant, the next time God speaks, B'Shem Elohim, will be the circumcision covenant. Remember? Which will help us understand why circumcision on day 8, if Elohim is always goes with number 7 with creation. So that's what I want to show you now. I want to use that as a building block. First, I want to give the objective analysis of it, and then I'll try to give meaning to it. Understand? Make sure that's clear. I think it's real fundamental. So let's take a look now on the source sheet, and first we'll just read through and see the parallel. Okay, we had, we'll go back to this, but we'll go back to Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei with calling out in God's name, which we did last week. Wait a minute. Here's the rainbow covenant. The flood was over, and we had this, what they call the seven Noachai laws, which was primarily Ru of Ru and no murder. Now, V'yomer Elokim Noach v'Avanavi Tov Lemor. V'ani hinim ekim et briti itchem, which means I'm about to establish a covenant with you. Remember the introduction? Elohim is talking to Noach and telling him, I'm going to make a covenant with you. A little bit bigger. Okay. And the covenant is not just with you, you and your children, and every living thing that I made. That's everything I destroyed in the flood. And now it's going to be everything you brought into the ark. It's going to come out now, and I'm going to make a covenant with them. Listen to the phrase. Bakimoti et briti itchem. See that phrase? I'm going to establish my covenant with you and the whole creation. I'm not going to do it again. I did it once. Maybe according to Chazal, he did it over and over again. Now, never again. Was God, kevyochol, they call this simtzum, I think, in Kabbalistic terms, whatever that means. But God could do it, but he decides not to do it. For example, God could work. God could create another day. But God decides not to be creative on day 6. Remember? God holds back from, he could do something, but not that God can't work on Shabbat, but God decided, even though he could work, he doesn't work. What we do, right? We could do work, but we decide not to do work on Shabbat, to remember that God gave us the ability to be creative. So God's saying, even though I could bring a flood, I'm deciding I can't bring another flood. And that's the breed that God makes with nature now. Nature's going to stay. He won't change it. He won't start over again. He could, but he decides not to. And now we need what's called an oath brit. Vayomer Elokim, zot ot habrit asher niten b'ni u'b'nechem. Look at the phrases. An oath brit, a sign of the covenant, and the phrase between me and you, b'ni u'b'nechem. Ein nefesh kol chaya l'dorot olam. This will be a eternal covenant. See the word olam? Olam means forever. Olam al through Tanakh always means forever in the realm of time. So notice, it's a brit, bakimot briti, b'ni u'b'n, an oath brit, and a brit olam. Okay? Now, what's the oath brit? Et kashina tati banan, the rainbow in the covenant, I mean, in the cloud. And that'll be the sign of the covenant between me and my creation, the whole land. Remember, God destroyed the land. He's going to promise not to do that again. And when I see the keshet, God says, "Vazachati et briti asher b'niu b'nechem, b'nefesh kochaya, etc." Not to bring another mabul. Vayta keshet ba'anan briti discord brit olam. See the word again, brit olam, eternal, between Elohim and all living things. V'yemer Elohim Manoach, zot o tabrit asher kimoti b'niu b'n kobasar asher laaretz. I'm saying the same phrases over and over again, but you see how obvious they are, how clear they are. There's a brit between Elohim, and it's not just with Noach, but Noach and all creation that came out of the ark. It's an eternal covenant. It's a brit olam, and there's an od brit, and it's between two sides. Now, before I read brit milah, does anything here sound familiar from what you davened on Shabbos? Give me something you said on Shabbos that has maybe the word oath in it, maybe a brit in it, maybe a brit olam in it, maybe beinu ubein in it. I hope you're smiling. What am I talking about? Remember, v'shamru b'nei sata shabbat?
V'shamru
b'nei sata
shabbat, brit olam.
It's a brit olam. Is Shabbat itself a brit, or is Shabbat an oat brit?
Oat.
I mean, some people don't wear, men don't wear tefillin on Shabbat because it's a oat brit. Remember, we don't need another oat. Everyone knows that halacha, right?
Not Shabbat itself. Are keeping Shabbat.
Oh, we'll see in a minute. We'll see what Chumash. We're going to see what Chumash says in a minute. Okay? It's the brit is not Shabbat. The old brit, Shabbat is an old brit. Later for brit Sinai. We'll develop that next week. I'll prove it in a minute. But we're developing a theme. We're going to go from creation from the flood story to brit milah to brit Sinai. But brit milah is the key step on the way. Now, before we forget all that, let's. Again, you can check it out for homework. From chapter 9, verse 17. Got it? This is the end of the Rainbow Covenant. From here on, Elohim doesn't speak again until chapter 17 in Bereshit. If you're bored one day, check it out. You can do a word search. If you find some somewhere, let me know. Now, out of note, but Yudke Vavke talked to Avram a lot. Now, Avram is 99, okay? God, who's appeared to him till now, tells him, here's my new name, Ani El Shaddai, Hitalech Lefanai V'yatamim. That's the introduction to Brit Milah, got it? I'm El Shaddai, Hitalech Lefanai V'yatamim. How many times does God say, Ani El Shaddai? Anyone want to guess? How many times does God himself say, my name is Kel Shaddai?
Just this once?
No. I hear two, Ruth. Two? Anyone say three?
Motion.
Four or five?
Motion.
Well, if you did a word search, you probably get six of that. But God saying Ani El Shaddai is twice. Now, right before he names Avram, Avram. And the next time he's going to say it, you want to take a wild guess?
Motion.
Yaakov Yisrael. Avram's name change to Avraham, leading to the birth of Yitzchak, is going to be the first time God says Ani El Shaddai. The last time he's going to say it is going to be in chapter 35 in Vayikra, in Bereshit, when he changes Yaakov's name to Yisrael. The same wording, the same thing. We'll see Brit Milah be in the background. Got it? And in case you didn't figure that out, that's exactly the filtering process of Sefer Bereshit. Isn't that the major theme of Bereshit? Not just that we're chosen, but who's chosen? And there's three filtering generations and then 12 tribes. I'm saying this is all a setup. That's my whole point. All the stories in the first 11 chapters are a setup in the universal section are set up to appreciate the depth of what's happening in the particular section. Now, the purpose of the particular covenant is for the sake of all nations, but God's entering a particular relationship for the sake of his universal relationship with all humankind. And I need that as a background for next week, understanding what Malchiyot is about. Now let's go back to we didn't read Brit Milah yet. That was just the background to appreciate Brit Milah. Let's go back to God says Hitalech Lefanai V'yatamim. As long as I'm sharing my screen, I'll show you beautiful Perek and Tehillim just for the fun of it. I shouldn't do this, but I'm doing it anyhow. Where are we? If you want to appreciate a nice Perek and Tehillim, this is for Rabbi Benny Gesundheit. is a thing. Chapter 15. It's not in our prayer service, but it's an awesome parak. Mizmor le David, Hashem, mi agur baholecha, mi yishkon bahar kodshecha. Who's worthy of dwelling in the tent of God and dwelling, you know, on his high mountain? Who? Holech tamim ubel tzedek v'davrem bilbavo. This is a chapter written for Rabbi J. Holech tamim. Isn't that brit milah? Telech via tamim. And then this all good behavior. Pel tzedek, dover emet. Not speaking lashon hara. Okay. Not embarrassing people. Honoring those who fear God. Lending your money properly is all from Parshat Ki Teitzeh. Not taking bribes, etc. Basically, it's a real short thing of thing. Anyone who does these things, right? Lo yimot le'olam. See the word le'olam at the end? Leave this to Rabbi Gesundheit, Rabbeni. He'll, what do you call it? I'm sure you can find another 20,000 parallels here. But these are the main ones. Olam, Olek Tamim. Now, this sounds like a universal chapter about God and man. For sure it's universal because it applies to everybody who's worthy of being in God's hand. But it's alluding to God's covenant with Avraham Avinu, which is the Brit Olam and Olek Tamim. Italech Nabiya Tamim. That's the prerequisite for Brit Milah. Now let's stop this share and go back now to let's read Brit Milah now inside before we forget all these parallels. Okay. Avram's 99. God appears to him and says, Ani al sharei telech v'via tamim. Introduction. V'etna briti b'nyu b'necha. Here we go. B'nyu b'necha. And pur vuf, arbel t'chavi mod mod. Just like we have with Noach. But a brit between me and you. Avram falls on his face. V'adaber yitol l'kim l'mor. Now, Elohim is speaking to Avram, you know, the first time Elohim speaks to Avram. Ani hinei briti itach. Va'ita la'av hamon goyim. Now, I want to put a stop right here. Put yourself in Avram's position. God appears to you and says, I'm what? I'm God. Okay? And I'm going to make a brit with you. What do you expect to follow next? Let's stop this share for a minute. God tells you, I'm entering a covenant with you. What should the next topic be? What should follow? Not what words. What topic should follow? I'm making a covenant with you. What do you want to know?
What's in the covenant?
The terms.
Why?
What are the terms?
Why?
What's the reward?
The terms of the covenant.
Or what's the purpose? What makes more sense? What's in it for me? Or what should follow? The purpose of the covenant or the reward of the covenant?
The purpose.
If you're talking to a five-year-old, tell me, hey, you're going to get a lollipop. Or you get a star. Or you'll get, what do you call it? You get to sit in Mizrach or something. If you're talking to a mature adult, like, what's the purpose of the covenant? What's the purpose of your new job? Now, let's take that. In light of that, let's look at the next line. Let's go back now and share. Okay. God says, Hinei briti itach, v'ayita la'av hamon goyim. Now, is that a promise of reward? Or is that the purpose of the covenant? What makes more sense? You're going to be an av to many nations.
Both of them. Both of them.
It sounds like both. What does it mean, av hamon goyim? Is God talking about the birth of Ishmael and Bnei Keturah and what do you call it? And Esav and Amalek? And is all the and Ishmael? Is that what he's talking about? Or is he talking about his connection with Am Yisrael? The word Av doesn't always mean father. It also means mentor. Correct? We'll go back. Remember the examples? There was Av. Remember Lemech's kids from Cain. Remember? He was the father of all. We'll read the Psukim and Perek Daled in a minute.
My point is
Av Hamon Goyim doesn't mean the father of many nations, a father to many nations. The best example is when Yosef tells his brothers, go tell Abba, go tell Yaakov, I'm an av to Paro. I became not a father of Paro, I became a mentor to Pharaoh. The word av, we'll see a minute. If you know Masechet Nezikin, Arbavot Nezikin, their categories, Avot Melachot, but an av can be like a mentor or a cat. Now, what's God saying? I think it's critical, that understanding. I'll show you in some parshanim in a minute. So let's take a look. You'll be an av hamon goyim. And therefore, to remember that, I'm changing your name from Avram to Abraham. Why? Ki av hamon goyim netaticha. It's not about reward, it's about purpose. And therefore, to become a nation forever, I'll bless you with Pruruv, Yifreiti Otcha B'mod Mod, and I'm setting you aside for the sake of nations. Okay? And you'll have kings, you'll be a nation with sovereignty to have an effect on other nations. And here's a big line that we had, this is perfect parallel. Vakimoti et briti beinu beinecha. That's word for word that we had in the Rainbow Covenant. Remember? The same thing. Vakimoti et briti beinecha. Bezacharech v'dorotam debrit olam. Do lacha lelukim v'zacharecha. Now, I'm showing you just another source sheet real fast. Look at the parallel. You see that on the parallel sheet here? This is brit keshet, Rainbow Covenant. Vakimoti et briti itchem v'leod mabul. Vakimoti et briti, okay? In other words, if I'm asking, what is the covenant of the Rainbow Covenant? Rainbow is the oath brit. It's a reminder, the covenant is no more floods. Circumcision covenant, circumcision is not the covenant. It's an oath brit. What's the covenant? I'm your God, and therefore you're my people. Remember that phrase? Why did God take us out of Egypt? That phrase, that's opening up the main topic of Chumash. The purpose of a covenant is he'll be our God, we'll be his people, but it's for the sake to be a mentor to other nations. Now, in order to become a nation, you need a land. And therefore, I'm setting aside the land of Israel, like where I can be your God, where I have that special relationship with you. But the goal is not the land of Israel. Land of Israel is a vehicle through which we achieve the goal. Right? It's not that Brit Milah is about, oh, God promised us a land. It's not about reward. He said, to be a nation, you need a land. And God's setting aside a land, this special land, the land of Canaan, to enable us to fulfill our goal. If we don't fulfill the goal, God will kick us out until we're ready, and then he'll bring us back. And then it says, then you circumcise your skin, your foreskin, and that'll be an oath brit. Benu benechem. Let's go back now to the other story sheet we had. I'm going to give you the land of notes again. Vakimot et briti, just like before. A brit olam. I'll be your God, you'll be my people. And I'm going to give you this, the land of Eretz Canaan. And there I can be your God and you'll be my people. That's all theme, all through Sefer Vayikra. In the Tochachot, in Parshat Bahar, and Bechukotai. And then Elohim tells Avram, keep this breed. What do you need to do? This is the breed you have to keep. Himodachem kol zachar. Unmatem et pasar lachem. Vayel od breed benu benechem. Therefore, the od breed is going to be circumcision. The brit is the lachad Elohim. Now, because it's a brit olam, I'm going to go on a idea here. I'm not sure if I'm right, but I think there's a very logical reason why circumcision is where it is. Because in order to fulfill this covenant, Avram, to fulfill a brit olam, to have an eternal covenant with God, you need to have children. Because we don't live forever. Therefore, the need to have children, the reason why I think why Chazal say the Pur Vu is a commandment is because of this, not because of, in Chumash, it's a blessing, Pur Vu. But because God says, you're forever committed to be my people, because Avram enters a Brit Olam, we're obligated to bring up a family and teach them and keep the tradition going. And therefore, the reminder that you need to have children, that might explain why circumcision covenant is where it is. Like, I'm not sure if I'm right, but it's definitely you can work out the math later on how that works. Now, where else do we have the same phrases? We're going to have Brit Sinai, we're going to see, will be the exact same phrases. It will be a Brit Olam, it will be Ben Rumi, and Shabbat will be the old Brit. We'll see in a minute. And we're going to run out of time. Okay, let's go back to that's Brit Milah. Okay, I'll skip for a minute. Brit Ben Abtarim. Don't want to get mixed up. The idea of Av Hamon Goyim, remember? Is it father of or father for many nations? Okay, so this source I told you about, what happens? When Ada, remember, Lemech has two wives, Ada and Sila. So Ada, Giberti Yaval, he was Avi Yoshev Ohel Migneh. Got that? Avi. His brother was Yuval, he was Avi Kotofes Kinor Vekeshet. And there was another one, I forgot the other one, but the idea, he's the father of all musicians. Who's the father of modern medicine? I forgot already who. But the father of but someone who becomes the beginning something. So the idea of being a mentor to other nations, and here, that when Yosef tells his brothers, by Simeni la'av le'paro, I'm like a father to Pharaoh. Therefore, Av can be inventor, Pesah Micha. He takes the job. I'll be for you an Av and a Kohen, running the temple for Micha, if you remember the Ish Levi, the Sefer Shoftim. And Radak says, okay, V'ite Lav Amon Goyim, this is Radak, Ki lo tia Av l'goy echad levad, ela l'hamon goyim. You'll be a father to many nations. Okay? I'm sorry. This is the classic approach. My mistake. Radak is a classic one. And then instead, and Ebenezer says something similar, but the Netziv, that's what I wanted to bring. What's the Netziv say? He says, Ava Magim Kin, up until now you call up Hashem Yod Kevavke, you'll see in a minute. Vigir Kamanashim, Loya Elo Tamanashim Shit Garu Lagamre, Vinichtu Bilchal of the Hashem, etc. He goes on. And then he says, Vidavar Zay Yev Shar Bechol Olam, notes, you can't have this with everybody. Okay? Roshu Mikedem Loya, he says God needed a nation to spread this idea. Not everyone should be Am Yisrael, rather. God wants everyone to know God. We'll see this theme next week in the Aleinu. They'll get rid of idol worship. Okay? And this is what God's telling Avraham Avinu. Okay? He said he should put his mind to invest that he should be a father to many nations. Okay, to teach them the idea of Lakirim et Hashem. Uvezen haya nikra av amon goyim, ka av hamamid et b'no adat ishara. Like a father teaching his children. Okay, uvezen itbarer divrei Hashem akodem. In other words, when God says to be an av amon goyim, you'll be a mentor to teach other nations about God. And this will be the theme later of the Aleinu prayer. I have it here front in the source sheet. You'll have it. It's in English. Translation, English board. Okay, now, again, are the goyim us? Are for the goyim? There's, is God saying particular goyim in the breed is from you there'll be many nations, or I'm giving you for the purpose of many nations. That's a big machloket parshanim as well. We don't have time to go into it, but I just have the sources here on the source sheet. And later to show you when the whole story of Avram, then Yitzhak and Yaakov, and Yaakov comes back from Laban and has 12 tribes, God appears to Yaakov in Beit El, but he came back from Padan Aram, and God tells him, I'm changing your name from Yaakov to Israel. Okay. And God tells Elohim, Elohim speaks and tells Yaakov, Ani El Shaddai, Prey Orve, all the same wording, in Brit Kesha and Brit Milah, Ko Goim Yamimeka, Umalachim Melacha Yetzeu. Vata Shantak to Avram Lachat Nedel, Zachat Tenet Aretz. See, all the same wording, this is the Brit Milah blessing being repeated. And then Elohim goes up, and that's when Elohim, that's last time Elohim, that's not the last time, but that's the main time. That Elohim confirms the brit with Yaakov and changes his name and says Ani El Shaddai. These are the two times we talked about before. Okay, so what I try to show you is that there's going to be this developing theme of Lut Lachel Elohim, just here, as long as we're on the source sheet here. So we have it here in Breshit, Lut Lachel Elohim. If you know what he called it, your Sefer Vayikra. I took you out of Egypt, Lut Lachel Elohim. That's going to be in the end of Perakit Aleph. Bitim Krishna Kiyudosh Ani, that's after the laws of Kashrut. In Per Chabet, I'm taking you out of Egypt, Lo Lachad Elohim. I told you it's all through Vayikra, this theme. Ani Hashem Echana Shotet Chemetz Man, Etat Lachem Eter Skan, Lo Lachad Elohim. That's going to be in Parshat Bahar, with Shemitah and Yovel. The same theme. Why God takes out of Egypt in Parshat Tzitzit, I took you out of Egypt, Lo Lachad Elohim. In Sefer Dvarim, in the end of the speech, that's the end of the speech, this week's Parsha. Hashem emir chayom do l'chad Elohim. That Hashem emir chayom, we took on ourselves that he'll be our God, to walk in his ways, to keep his laws, lishmo b'kolo. This phrase comes up all the time. And then we'll see in Parsha Ve'ero, God takes us out of Egypt. Remember, v'chatkem nilam v'yitid l'chem l'Elohim. That's the four cups in Parsha Ve'ero. Again, this phrase, V'yitid l'chem l'Elohim, comes up over and over again. All through Nevi'im. Again, I can bring another 100 examples. But that phrase, V'yitid l'chem l'Elohim, is the brit of Brit Milah. Got my point? My whole point I'm trying to get across is that this is the covenant, B'shem Elohim. And now you have to try to suggest a reason. Again, objectively, you can't miss the textual parallel between circumcision covenant and rainbow covenant. And then later is God's covenant in Har Sinai with the same phrases and the same theme of Beni Ubein, an eternal covenant, and coming with an oath breed. Now, in a beautiful way, Shabbat is our weekly reminder, we'll see later, of Breed Sinai. Now, what might be the reason? I want to suggest something. I'm not sure if it's right, but I'm just suggesting a reason which I think makes sense. Before the flood, what could God do? If humankind sinned, God could start over again. Remember Chazal say that God created and destroyed, I think, was 974 times, I think. Remember the Midrash? It's I think, 974 generations. 974 times God until we got to Avram Avinu. But basically, I mean, until Noah. God was creating and destroying, and then he stopped. What's that mean? God decides, man was bad and he kept on trying, it didn't work. God promises after the flood, I'm not going to start over again. What can God do now if man goes bad? Before the flood, before the rainbow covenant, what could God do? Hit the reset button. What did God promise now? I can't hit the reset button. If I can't start over again, the only thing I can do now is fix it. And therefore, God needs to put into nature some apparatus or some function that can help fix creation if it goes bad. If there's hashchatagin, if there's corruption, remember, if there's corruption, instead of starting over again, maybe someone can fix it. If I have a corrupt, if I have in biology, if there's white blood cells, or if something's bad in the body, if there's an infection, white blood cells can come and fix it. But no, if something goes wrong, something can come and fix it. If society goes bad, people can fix a corrupt society, but that requires leadership. If humankind goes bad, God's hoping there'll always be one nation that's going to be the example of good behavior and acting properly. He's not promising it will work, but it can work if we live up to that goal. For that reason, God's going to enter a covenant and give us special laws to be a nation that'll have a message for humankind about how nations, now, not to tell other people how to behave, but to be a living example of how we should behave. It's a nation being an example of how we can learn from our mistakes and how we can grow from our mistakes and we can always try to do better. Now, if God rewards that nation for good behavior, to the nth degree, and punishes that nation for bad behavior to the nth degree, then people see a correlation between society behavior and the powers of nature. That's what we say every day in Shema. I'm trying to point out what I think is one of the biggest themes of Chumash. That's why it's all those phrases we're going to see later in Vayikra, in Parshat Bahar, in all the Tochachot. But God's promising reward, not just to make sure we behave properly, the way we fulfill our goal to teach other nations the advantage of behaving properly is by our being rewarded for good behavior and our being punished for bad behavior. And therefore, God promises, behave properly, do a good job representing God, build a just society, act in a way that sanctifies God. I'll reward you. Do a bad job, I'll punish you. How God punishes, he has lots of ways of punishing. And therefore, when things go bad, that's the Rambam Hilchot Teshuvah, we cry out to God to fix our ways. Ask, what are we doing wrong? Now, you can argue what we're doing wrong. But that theme is the biggest theme in Chumash. But what I'm suggesting is that the flood story, if it's a setup to appreciate the rainbow covenant, is a setup to understand the circumcision covenant, which leads to the covenant in Mount Sinai for the nation, then the idea of what in Aleinu, God shows us to help fix things when they go bad, to fix evil. God wants a nation to take leadership, to be a model for other nations that they can learn from. Now, there's other ways of God fixing things. That's why he picks Amik. He doesn't say we're the only people who can fix things in no other way. God can use other tools of fixing. We can be bad. He can be angry with mankind and do other ways. But he chose a nation to be one of God's tools for teaching mankind about good behavior, either through our good behavior or through our bad behavior. But he has this eternal relationship with all the time. And that's what we need to remember. Next week, I'm going to show you how that develops the theme of internalizing that as Malchuyot, in my opinion. Not the God, he's our God and no one else's God. He's everyone's God, but we're chosen to serve him. Now, in light of that, real quick, because I'm almost out of time, I'm developing the theme of Shem Elokim and all the themes of creation and life and Purvu and things like that. Now, at the same, in the same choice of Avraham Avinu and Sefer Bereshit, God's going to make a brit b'shem yud kevavke called brit ben aptarim. Without going to the details of brit ben aptarim, I have it on the source sheet. I just have it here on one page. This is the first dialogue between God and Avram Avinu. Remember, God tells Avram Avinu, lech lecha, and begin a journey, etc. But Avram doesn't say anything back. There's no conversation between them. God makes promises about giving the land, but there's no covenant yet, and there's no dialogue. The first dialogue is after the War of the Four Kings and Five Kings, okay? And the opening line that God tells Avram is, don't worry, I'll tear Abraham. It comes up a lot. That's how you start a conversation. Don't worry, I'll protect you. It means you have what to worry about. You have great schar. Avram asks the question, I don't have any children. What kind of schar can I have? You know, and who's going to inherit me? It'll be Eliezer, his CEO. God says, no, it won't be him. It'll be you. It'll be your children. Go out and count the stars. And then God starts another conversation and tells him, I'm the God who took you out of Ur Kasdim. You thought that was your father who took you out? No, that was me. It wasn't Terach. It was me. I took you from Ur Kasdim. In order for one day to conquer this land, to inherit this land, Avram wants to know, we'll see in a minute, how it happened. B'mayda. And then God says, let's make a little ceremony here, a little covenantal ceremony. And then God makes a promise. Let me go back now. I see this on the source sheet. Here we go here. Back to the source sheet. Ben Aptarim. Where are we? Here we are. Oh, I didn't have to change anything, did I? My mistake. Go back to, I think I did it here, right? Yeah. Remember, Avram asked the question, B'mayda. God's answer is Yodot Teda. Again, this is a ceremony in between. This here is a covenantal ceremony. You're dividing the parts. It's called it's an ancient type of covenantal ceremony. But Avram's question is B'mayda, which is unclear what the question is, but based on the answer, you can figure out what the question was. God tells Avram Yodot Teda, the what? The children I promised you. It'll be like the stars in the heaven, etc. You have lots of children, but before you get the land and become a nation, you know, I'm taking you out. I took you out of Ur Kasdim to start a nation in this land. Avram wants to know when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen. God says, what do you need to know? Before you become that nation, your children have to become strangers in someone else's land. They're going to be enslaved. It'll be a long 400-year process. I'm going to punish the oppressor, take you out with great wealth, but it won't be in your lifetime, four generations later, and can only happen after what do you call it? Until Kilosh Shalem, no, it's until the Amorites sin and be worthy of being thrown out, then I can bring you back. And then on that day, God made a brit with Avram Avinu, promising him the land. Now, why the borders of the land are different, but basically, this is called the God of history. But the God's name behind the historical process of becoming a nation, and then being oppressed by another nation, and then becoming a nation because of that oppression, and then conquering your land and setting up a new nation, that's all going to be the framework of Brit Ben Aptarim and Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now, where was the first time we had the concept of nations beginning? What story began the concept of nations?
Migdal Bavel.
That was Migdal Bavel. And what was God's name in Migdal Bavel? Yud Kei Vav Kei. Don't be surprised. And what was the thing? Remember, let's make a name for man. What's Avram going to need to do? We need to make a name for Yud Kei Vav Kei. But I need big historical events for that. So I need the God of history who's behind nations. Remember, Yatzei Bu'ul Tamim Nisbar B'nei Yisrael. That's what Merdak quoted before. But there'll be the God watching over our history. There'll be the God behind the powers of nature. It's the same God, Hashem Hu Elohim. But Chumash is using those two names to see two different ways that God works. But there's a history of nations developing, the idea of going into slavery and learning from that slavery. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt and don't do that to others. Another mega theme in Chumash. That'll be another breed. That'll be Pesach. That'll be big. Coming out of Egypt, they're all going to come together. Remember, that's the Eskod Briti, Parshat Va'era. Maybe we have time to take a look at real quickly. But what I'm trying to show you today is that just like Chumash sets the stage for God choosing a nation, God's using this two stories of creation, two reasons for a flood, two reasons after the flood, and a whole covenant. He's using those stories as a platform to launch the underlying reason for why we're chosen. Now, the goal of Chumash is to pick a nation and understand why we're chosen. But the stories are there to tell you to appreciate why you're chosen. and the fact that God can learn from his mistakes, we can learn from our mistakes, we can be, God cares about all nations, but has a special relationship with us. We're involved with other nations. We have a land. We can do good things. We can do bad things. But all these stories and all these covenants, the fact that there's two covenants between God and Avraham Avinu, two britot, one b'shem Elokim and one b'shem Kevavke, and that matches the two reasons for the flood and the two reasons after the flood not to bring another flood, which matches the two stories of creation. That's got to be intentional. That's not some sloppy redactor, you know, picking up some scraps and you know, making a little album of what he found in this thing. There's an intentional development of theme, and one of the tools the Chumash is using to develop that theme is two names of God. Now, you could disagree on the interpretation, but the main I try to show you was the objective analysis. There's something going on intentionally in the development, and behind that is this theme of Shem. That was last week's share, that Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, what that nation needs to do is make a name for God. Now, how do you do that? Why, whenever the historical event, attribute that event to God. That's Hala. That's Hoda Kiru B'Shmo. Shirlo, Zamrlo. We'll get that all next week when we talk about Aleinu. But it's our duty to praise God. Aleinu L'Shabech, Adon HaKol. Got it? But no, we need to talk about God's name who's involved. But that God who's involved in history is also the God who makes all the powers of nature, who everyone's praying to because you need rain, etc. And there's it's the same God. But internalizing that message will lead to better behavior. But people learn, you need to learn through experiences, through stories, etc. That's going to be already the history of, that'll be God's eternal challenge to his people to live up to that goal. Again, how we fulfill it and how we don't fulfill it, that's already read in the Vim, that'd be Jewish history. And try to learn from your mistakes and not repeat them over again. Okay, I think my time's up here. Let me ask, I know there's a lot more on the source sheet real fast. One thing just to review from last week, because we didn't do it, this idea of here, in the review, we got up to, after Cain and Hevel, remember Azu Chalik Rob Hashem Hashem we talked about? That was the cliffhanger before the Toldot. This was the verse right before the Toldot of Adam to Noah. That was the end of the Yud Kevavke section. And leaves us hanging what's going to be. Noah calls his son Shem. We tried to explain why last week, to make a name for God. And therefore he says, Baruch Hashem Adokei Shem. Because Shem talks about God. We'll see that next week on Rosh Hashanah davening. Mikdav Vav, God's upset because man's making a name for himself. Again, B'Shem Yud Kevavke. Yud Kevavke chooses Avram, begins his journey, and Avram calls out in God's name. When he first arrives in Israel, when he comes back from Egypt, later is Eshel and Beersheba. That's all the Avram stories, and Yitzchak and Yaakov, very similar. And then later we have it, remember, the Beit HaMikdash, HaMakom HaShir Yivchar Hashem, Shomos Tfilah, the whole thing through that we saw in the sources last week. So I just wanted to just point that out one last time. And then in light of that, that leads to Avram being chosen, calling out, making a name for God, and then Brit Milah, B'Shem Elokim. And those two britot go back and forth. And they're going to come together. I'll just go to the end of the source sheet. As you drink to this at the Seder, but basically, here. Remember the Chenim Mordi V'Sani Hashem? Remember the four cups in Parsha Ba'era? I'm sorry. Elohim says, Ani Hashem. I spoke to Abraham Yitzhak Be'el Shaddai. Remember we saw that? By name, didn't make myself known. I talked to them, didn't make myself known with miracles. That's Brit Milah, isn't it? And Neshamati Nakapane Sar Shemitzar Ma'abidim Otam. That's Brit Ben Aptarim. You see the two Britot? You can't miss that. This is Brit Milah word for word. And this is being saved from slavery in Egypt. That's Brit Ben Aptarim. And God's taking us out of Egypt with both names, on both Britot. And therefore, Tal B'nei Israel, Ani Hashem. Therefore, I'm going to fill Brit Ben Aptarim. Votseiti, Vitzalti, Vegaalti. Got it? And then, Har Sinai, V'lechatchem Lilam, V'yiti Lechem Elohim, Brit Milah. And V'idatem, Ki Ani Hashem, Elokeichem, Amotzeitchem, Mitachat Tzivot Mitzrayim. And then, V'yiteitchem El Aretz. It just explains why Parsha Be'era is so important, and that leads us to Har Sinai. And then, in the Tochacholot, remember, if you follow my laws, etc., in the land of Israel, V'niyatchem, V'yiteitchem, 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 that's Har Sinai, that's Parsha Bahar. V'ilachti B'tochachem, V'yitalech L'fei V'yatamim, remember that? You see that theme developing all through Chumash? And therefore, in Har Sinai, when God says, That's Yod Lachad Elohim. And then Shabbat will be the Brit on Shabbat. I'm sorry. Here. On Shabbat, Batabene Sot Lemor, Ach Efrati Tishmoru, keep Shabbat, why? Ki it's an oath, Binyu Benechem, Kani Hashem Mekadishchem. That's Har Sinai. Batem Tulim Amlechet Konim B'Goy Kadosh. Okay? And then we say, remember then, B'Shem Rubin Sot Shabbat, Binyu Ben Yisrael Oti La'olam, Brit Olam, Binyu Ben. That's why Shabbat's so important. Because Shabbat is the oath Brit, a Brit Sinai. Yeah, we'll go back to this next week when we get to the background of Aleinu, but that's why I want to share with you this week the idea that Chumash is alternating between these two names of God, the two Britot, but it's got to be intentional. You know, the idea, it's not just a sappy, you know, someone collecting things together. There's theme development. Now, you can argue with my conclusions. I'm just basing my conclusions on what we say in the Siddur, what we see in the Nevi'im, what we see in thing, and I think it's also logical. But it puts a lot of responsibility on our nationhood. But it helps us appreciate what's the reason for a nation and why God's giving us the land to fulfill that goal. Now, let me check the chat before I get stoned. A second. No, we don't want to share screen now. We want to find the chat. What happened to the chat? Oh, here's the chat. Chat 10. Okay, that's the Yom Iyun. I can hear our broiler. Okay, very nice. Okay, it's El Shaddai, Ruth, El Shaddai recurs, but not God saying on the El Shaddai. Yitzchak says, when Yitzchak sends Yaakov for a shidduch, the El Shaddai breichotcha, that's Puravu. Okay? And Yaakov tells Yosef, El Shaddai nirai beluz. They're talking about the brief, but God doesn't say on the El Shaddai, only in these two places. But Aravot referred to it. 97.26 generations, that's up to 1,000, very good, Jay. Oh, Jay didn't write that. That's the 974 and 26, the 26 generations until Har Sinai, and then 974 is beforehand. The name Kel Shaddai, that's a big machoket. Why Shin Dalad Yud? Is the Shin, basically in the nutshell, is the Shin part of the Shoresh or not? Is Shaddai like Shoddai, that's Eben Ezra, like God's over, like he's in charge of everything, he controls everything, or Shaddai, you know, it's the God who said, I like the Shin, that, you know, it's God who said, I'm stopping here with creation. In other words, God said after 7 days, after 6 days, no more. I finished creating and rest on the seventh day. And therefore, Bila is on the eighth day. That's the Maran Alateva. But the machloket of the name Shaddai, does it come from Shin part of the word or not? Yoni Grossman says, Miloshin Sadeh. He says, El Kel Shaddai has to do with birth and having children. Like where milk comes from when you feed a baby. Shaddai, remember? You know, the breast milk and, Sadeh growth. So Yoni Grossman says that the word it has to do with birth and growth. That's an interesting take on it. Again, but it's a very unique special name. And think all of a sudden in Iyov it comes up like crazy. It's rarely in Chumash. All of a sudden, whoa, Iyov, it's over the place. That's a class in Iyov. Because Yov is a commentary on Bereshit, but that's a shir on Yov. Now back to Kol Eretz Canaan. Okay, what's all Eretz Canaan? The borders of Canaan, that's a different shir. Okay, Dennis wrote, is El Shaddai the creator? No, it's a special name. No, El Shaddai is a special name in the covenant, in who's chosen to be the family of the covenant. Because it begins with the name change of Avram to Avram and ends with Yaakov Yisrael, and the Bechira process is over. The name Kel Shaddai and Bechira and Breshit goes hand in hand. And that's what he says in Va'era. It doesn't come up again with Chumash. It's a special name for the Avot following the Bechira process. And that's what it does. Why it's those letters, ask your mezuzah. No. You understand my joke. Ask a Kabbalist, basically, why we put Shaddai in a mezuzah. I have a reason, but that's too long. Genesis 18 might, okay, we'll get to Genesis 18, that's, we'll get to Tzedek u'Mishpat in a later share for sure, and that's the sources. Okay, any other questions, Valpeh? I know I'm way over time. Okay, feel free to ask. I think I had too many sources there today, but I tried to get the main point across. Hope that was clear. That there's something going on. That's my whole point. The two names of God is not some lazy redactor putting scraps together. It's a tool the Chumash is using to develop the most important theme of Chumash, not how he created, but why he chose a nation. And I'm using the creation source as a platform to appreciate our chosenness. Now, we didn't even get to Har Sinai, 40 days and 40 nights, and all the people, Noach and Moshe Rabbeinu, and Midot Rachamim. That's all wool. That's a Shir on Yom Kippur. But this is a platform, it's not just the 11 chapters in the beginning, in the flood story, it's not just a platform to understand why God picks Avraham Avinu and Am Yisrael. It's going to be a platform to understand our whole relationship with God at Har Sinai, and a covenant that can't be broken. You understand the idea? Just like God's covenant with nature can't be broken, his covenant with the Jewish people can't be broken. That's Yishayahu and Menoach, that's Yirmiyahu. It's Brito, but that's going to be a big theme. But why Shem Yud Kevavki always goes with the number 40? And why Elohim always goes with the number 7? That'll be, there's a lot of topology on numbers here, but that's way beyond. I'm saying what we're doing today is just scratching the surface, but there's something really big going on. And, why these stories are on Chumash. But again, my main point is I need the stories to understand why we're chosen. And our chosenness is a complicated topic, but it's through the stories God develops the theme. Already. Okay, announcements, Rabbi Jay?
Okay, thank you. Now, Dr. Benny, as you alluded to today, it's Bill Yud, a very brief read, but Chatzi Sha'a, Yom Sheikh at the Shir Shel Tilim Shelo. Next Sunday,
Ask him about Tilim Tetvav, why it says Olech Tamim and Le'olam at the end.
Ask him what? I'm sorry.
Why Tilim Tetvav begins with Olech Tamim and ends with Le'olam?
That's like that's a beautiful parak in Tilim. I know you mentioned me, the parak. It is a beautiful parak. And, yes. Okay. That's the parak of, that the Gemara says, Ba David Behemidan
Alachadis. 15, yeah. Right. 15
or 13. 13 means, not really. Yeah. That's too much. You know, that Rashi is the most unbelievable Rashi in the Talmud. It says it was too hard to, you know, the Rashi there in Makos. You have to look at it. The Gemara says that's the only source, by the way, pretty much, that there's 613 mitzvot, an agadic statement. And the Gemara says there were 613, but David, I mean, done on 11, and David and Melech, we made 11 mitzvot. So Rashi explained, it's too hard, 613 mitzvot. If you ask people to keep 613 mitzvot, they can't do it. So David says, it's okay, just keep these 11. So Rashi says, it's like rather astounding. But anyways, you can look
it
that up.
It's one, but Tzadik ben Rotoy Yishya, right?
And then Yishayahu to 6, and then
Habakkuk is the last one.
That Rashi is okay. So you say he means that the 11 in Kamis, but there are no mitzvot bein adam lemakom on that list. It's only mitzvot bein adam lekaviro. So anyways, that's a fascinating Rashi. But thank you. Yes, that parak in Tehillim. Okay, that's I guess all my announcements, and then all our learning this week. We hope to see you. We hope you'll invite a friend. I think everybody has at least one friend who they can invite. And of course, next Sunday, as I mentioned, we'll have a Yom Iyun. We were very nice to Rav Menachem, and we gave him his 11:15 time slot. It worked out. 6 speakers, 40 minutes each, with 1 50-minute break. And then
that's going to be hard for me
to speak only. Yeah, I'm going to cut you up, by the way.
I know.
I will cut you up. 40 minutes. That's the most important thing on a Yom Iyun, is you have to keep the time. Time. I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
Okay. Right, have a good night.
Danny is at the other
end of the missile in Central Israel. Lovely.
I'm sorry. It's regular. In Israel, it'll be whatever. We're starting 9:15.
Yeah.
4:15 in the afternoon in Israel. And we'll go to 1:30, 8:30 in Israel. So it works so well. If you live in Australia, it doesn't work so well. But other than people who live in Australia, it should be pretty good. It works for California. A little early start for California, but no. In Chicago, it's well. And okay. All right. Any other? And then, okay. We look forward to seeing you. And should be a Shavua Tov for
Dr. Betty today will be at the other end of Sefer Tehillim, working with the Hallel, which is what we call Pesukei Dezimra. And so he's going to be talking about Hallelujah, and that's the universal end. So he's Dafka today emphasizing the universal end.
You know what we do? When we take Tila the David, we surround it with particular Pesukim, right? We say,
That's what he talked about last week.
That's not the parak, right? And then Vanachnu Devarech Yah is not part of it. It's not part of those. Everything is universal by itself, and we surround it with particular. Remember when we do Tila David, we surround it with particular.
Which
is all about us.
Right? That Tehillah le David was the introduction, but the Hallel itself
starts with the next parak.
Ashrei, the Hallel itself, all the rest of the Tehillim is all to go out to the universal.
Yeah,
that's what I understood from his shiur last week, and that's what he'll do this week.
So. Okay, good.
Okay. That's it, everybody. Okay, be well, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Okay, thank you.